Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and you're listening to Financial Survival. It is Wednesday, 15 February, 2023. Welcome to tonight's program. We always have with us on a Wednesday the first segment, Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs. She'll be with us in a minute. Discuss something you may find kind of interesting. I think I know I will. Melody will join us the second part of this program, coming in maybe to feel some questions or whatever. I don't know what she has in her mind today, but we'll let her come in and join us inside it's her broadcast, right? But again, Financial Survival, welcome to the program. We're going to get right into the metals today and the markets. The metals had an off day today, considerably off, actually. Gold was down 1891 to 183603. Silver was down 21 cents, 2164. I do believe I'm going to order some silver. The price is down. Platinum down 1452 to 925.12. Palladium down 2430 to 1502.65. Metals had a rough one. The markets, well, the Dow was down 24.65 points to 34.064. S&P was up 1.93% to 41.3806. NASDAQ was up 68.65 to 12,028. So nothing much changed there at all. FTSE was up 0.55% to 7,997. DAX was up 0.82% to 15,506. Hang Seng was down 1.43% to 28,812. Nikkei was down 0.37% to 27,501. USDX was up 0.68 to 103.91. Oil was down 45 cents to 78.61. The 10-year yield was up 0.048 to 3.809%. So nothing huge in any change there except the metals took a little hit again. And now is a good time, folks, to buy what you want to buy in metals. I am going to order some silver. I like silver. I know I need to get some gold once in a while too, but I like silver. It's a poor man's metal. It's also a bartering metal. So get it while you can. Now, let's go to our guest today, and it's always a pleasure to have Wendy Wilson on. She's always a hoot and always full of information, just enjoyable to listen to. So we're discussing something today that you might want us to hear very closely because it's something that we won't want to put our trust in, but probably shouldn't. Wendy, go ahead.
Hello, Pastor Butch and all the listeners, and Todd. How is everybody? Good?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome.
I'm doing fine.
Well, I thought we'd talk about what's the real core policy of our modern-day science, because they let us know, really, in writing, what that is. Because we've been kind of delving lately into the ethical side of science, and we're finding there are some problems there. So we hear that there are rules and policies and ethical training that scientists should abide by and go through, but often it's treated as a suggestion by scientists. So, what does science consider to be important in their profession? Now, in general, there's an overall protection of the creative aspect of science, so they tend to focus on that. Here is a quote from the University of Edinburgh. This is UK. They say, science policy focuses on knowledge production and role of knowledge networks, collaborations, and the complex distribution of expertise, equipment, and know-how. Understanding the processes and organizational context of generating novel and innovative science, the engineering ideas is a really core concern for science policy. So I've heard this before from Pastor Butch, from scientists. They don't want to stifle the creative side of science, no matter how unethical it may be. So you hear that over and over again in their meetings and in their literature. Now, University of Edinburgh goes on to say, science policy is defined as being an area of public policy which is concerned with the policies that affect the conduct of the science and the research enterprise, and often in pursuance of other national policies goals such as technological innovation, weapons development, healthcare, and environmental monitoring. So, yeah, their focus is not really where you would think it would be, right, Pastor Butch?
Not even close.
Well, you know, and the thing is, the message from this latest article I was reading was, if you can imagine it, it will be. So, according to the publication Issues, Science, and Technologies, They say the next 75 years will transform the scientific field. It is suggested that science will create a new moral code. Here's a quote from that article. They say, from life-saving vaccines to weapons of mass destruction, engineers seem willing to enable this enterprise for the right price. How can engineering become better aligned with sustainability, justice, peace, and human rights? End of quote. So, yeah, so it is for sale is the message. Engineering, science, all the science areas. Now, apparently there's this conflict in which areas of science such as engineering has made some worthy contributions to society, but the flip side is they are also making some dangerous decisions, putting society at risk. Here is a quote from the journal Issues, Science, and Technologies. This is June 2022. They say engineers are also complicit in degrading things such as unwarranted surveillance and even monstrous projects like the atom bomb. They go on to say engineers sometimes seem so interested in answering questions of technical feasibility that they may overlook questions of purpose or ulterior motive. This tendency, they say, raises the question, does engineering have a moral compass? End of quote. I've heard this a lot from scientists, too, in their writings. It's almost like, you know, why do mountain climbers climb the mountain? What do they say to you? Because it's there.
Yes.
So science, you know, when they get into this theory thing and they kind of go down the path of, well, what if we did this and what if we did that? Let's just try it because we can. That's the attitude, because we can. So the question can be asked of science in general, and especially medical health care. The race to be the first to obtain a patent, let's say on the COVID shot, perhaps shrouded their ethical and moral boundaries with regard to informed consent and traditional and ethical research. So they were really hunting that, you know, garnishment of, you know, patent and payments that they get. Now, anyone can, you know, villainize just about anything. However, due to the power and the influence in the areas of science that we have, it seems to have ethical boundaries, oversight, and penalty issues for those that may cross the line. So our problem is these three elements have not been established. There is really no enforcement of penalties for wrongdoers. So the argument often is that such measures could stifle the creative research and inhibit innovation and creation. And I don't know, what do you think about that, Pastor Butch?
Well, I think that I'd rather have that than it would compromise people's health and lie to them.
Yeah,
I mean, what? Do you compromise morality to stop immorality, or what? I mean, what are you talking about? You know.
Well, didn't we see this kind of similar situation at the Tower of Babel, where the Lord looked down and says, you know, we're going to have to confuse their language, or there's nothing they'll be able to accomplish or do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do they say? You know, nothing is outside of their, vision, their creative visionary issue. So, so God kind of put a brakes on there, you know, wish we could do that now, but
yes,
there's supposed to be a code that they follow. So, you know how they say that old saying, locks on doors is for honest people.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, so the code of ethics is kind of the same situation, really. So the debate on regulations, let's say for industries such as your science areas, has been kind of ongoing for some time, and lots of talk and debate about code of ethics. And conversations on moral code is kind of a positive note, but it won't amount to a hill of beans unless there is protections for whistleblowers, and the penalties will deter the risk takers. So, you know, it's just no words on paper. It's sort of like a restraining order. Again, that's for an honest person. That's not for the criminal. A piece of paper not going to stop him. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. No, it is not.
So Issues, Science, and Technology journals chimed in and said, codes of ethics seek to give direction and set constraints for practitioners. That's what it's supposed to do. And for a while it worked in some generations, Pastor Butch, because what scientists who wanted to cross the line, you know what they did? You know how they did that? They didn't want to have any kind of bad mark on their record, you know, or anything like that. So if they wanted to do experiments outside the code of their ethics in their field, they would go offshore, have a scientific research vessel, and they would do it out there. They would do it out there. So I often say to people, you know, those globsters that float ashore, they're these weird kind of mix of animals.
Yes.
Yeah, it's sort of like those vessels out there kind of creating different things. And then when it doesn't work out, they throw it overboard and then it washes ashore kind of thing. I'm not kidding.
I know you're not kidding. I believe that. I do believe that.
So what we're saying is they need to plug these loopholes. It's also a problem. It has been addressed before. They've tried to do that in their current code of ethics. But loopholes, what are loopholes really, Pastor Butch? If you had to describe a loophole, what would you call it?
A way to get around something you're not supposed to.
Right. So loopholes in science is considered a moneymaker. Okay.
That makes sense, too. Yes.
It's another way of saying plausible deniability. They don't have to be responsible for the outcomes. So here's another quote from the journal. They say, the lack of attention given to moral dilemmas in engineering and science and the values that undergird engineering and science itself can allow engineers to disclaim responsibility. So we got a real problem. They're scooting around these things, you know. They need a new course is what they need. And people know we have a serious problem within our scientific communities. And some of the science community is saying, well, we need a new, solid, well-defined course. Okay. So how can a new policy work? Can you draft something on paper? But good policy has to be upheld by good people for that to work.
The key thing is you can write anything you want, write all the laws you want, but it's not in somebody's heart. They're not going to obey it anyway.
Right. So anything good is based in God's ways.
Yes.
So the journal article said this, science requires a new moral imagination that goes far beyond codes of ethics. And I call for such a change, they say. If it's anything more than a platitude, they say, it must complement and increase the incentives, the practices, the institutions, and narratives that regulate engineering work. Well, okay, we're done with platitudes here. We don't want innuendos, and we don't want, like you say, people that are going to just say, well, there's the policy, you can read it, and then they go do what they want. So when we divert from the scriptural morals, you know, God laid out for us, you know, laid out for man, that's when we really get into problems like we have now. So we don't need to reinvent morals. We need to adhere to God's moral code.
Yes.
The godly moral code, that's what we have to do. We got to pull things back. We got to pull on them reins, Pastor Butch. And we got to be smart about it. We do. We are intelligent enough to know that finding a better way than what our Creator has laid out is going to deliver confusion and chaos. It's just not going to work.
It certainly is. And without a solid moral law to abide by, you can build nothing that lasts. Nothing.
So morals really doesn't mean you can't be creative and you can't invent things. That's not what morals mean. It just means that what you create and what you invent needs to protect man and all of God's creation. See? So it's apparent that this is not what's happening. So we're so far off this path, Pastor Butch. We got to pray in a directional change. We got to pray some really good people in positions of power that can rein this stuff in, because it's getting really strange out there. More journal articles I read, the more I shake my head and go, they cannot be serious. But, you know, they don't see it as something that's deranged or just, you know, perverted or any of that. They think it's creative. They don't see that.
No, so, well, the Bible says that they become inventors of evil things, so that's what we're seeing.
Right. So, I mean, you can, anybody out there, if you got internet access and you have a computer or a smartphone, you can go on YouTube and type in globsters, not lobsters, but globsters. And Melanie's former co-host thought I was kidding, but then next time we did a show together, he said, "You weren't kidding." I said, "Yeah, these are like really weird creatures, like something the size of a whale that doesn't look like a whale."
Yep.
There was one thing that washed ashore that looked like an alligator and a dog.
Yep.
And then one guy in Japan, this was really creepy. Now, this was, you know, a few years back. This was like 2010. He was walking along the beach, and he picked up what he thought was a starfish, but it was a huge starfish. It was like the size of a dinner plate starfish, okay? Wasn't the size of the palm of your hand. It was a dinner plate, you know? So he picks up the starfish, which looked like a normal starfish on one side, but he turned it over, and there was a face of a human being on the other.
Wow, I didn't see that. Wow.
I he dropped it, screamed, and ran away. It was weird.
Wow.
It was totally weird. Now, I know people can, you know, do some things with technology now and make things look not what they are, but, you know, just try to ponder that a minute. If scientists are actually doing something like that, why would they be messing with man's DNA genetic code and merging it with the animal kingdom? Why would they be doing that?
They've been doing it for a long time, and I've come to believe that a lot of these so-called myths we talk about, the half horse, half man, you know, gargoyles.
Right.
I do believe that back in ancient time, those actually existed. I think that the fallen angels helped it, to develop that technology.
That's interesting, you know, and giants and all kinds of things.
Yes,
that,
yeah, we know giants were here. The Bible says so.
Yeah, and dragons. They even mention that in scripture. Dragons.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So, yep. You know, we live in interesting times, but we should trust in God, and we have to do is know our scripture, know truth, and count on God's truth to strengthen us and protect us, and he promises medicinal plants will do that. So I tell people, learn how to use them. They can give us a call at Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663 for a free catalog. That's 866-229-3663. Website, thepowerherbs.com. We're having a VIP sale, so it's 25% off. Details are online, or you can call for more information. And that runs through the 20th of this month. So get what you need and save at the same time. That's a deal.
Number one more time.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And also sign up for our free online newsletters, which Discount Gold and Silver does contribute to.
All right. Thank you once again, Wendy. I guess I'll see you next week. Like I said, last week will be tomorrow. Here we are. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Take care now.
Have a good weekend, honey. Bye-bye. Folks, back to the break. A lot more to talk about with Melody. Don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back, and I hope you enjoyed the first thing with Wendy Wilson. I know you did, folks. It's amazing how far off base as a nation we come, even in the field of science, that once everybody thought was totally on their side, doing everything to benefit man, and obviously that's not true any longer. That's obviously not true. And, of course, the love of money is to the root of all evil. But we have joined us right now the host of this program. We're going to bring in Melody Cederstrom. And let her join us for the next couple of segments. And I'm glad she's with us. I really mean that. Melody, are you there?
Are you sure you really mean that?
I do, Melody. You're fun to do a program with. You know, you are.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I mean, you always have good topics when we get along doing it. And sometimes you give me a hard time, but I'm used to it. I'm married, so it's all right.
Oh, there you go again. You know, the women in this audience, you know, we're going to start rebelling and, you know.
Oh, they know I don't
mean it. There you go again. You don't?
They know I don't mean it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I wouldn't dare. I'd be outnumbered. Gee. But anyway, I'm glad you're with us. And I know you usually like to take question two or have some comments you want to make about finances. We can start anything else. And I thought maybe you may have something you want to say off the top of your head, some things you want to inform us on.
Well, did you go over the precious metals and everything? We have
I
a,
did.
You know,
I
it
did.
Was another kind of a odd day in the metals. Again, we saw, you know, strength in the dollar, you know, approaching 104, and it's, you know, there isn't, again, we talk about not a whole lot of things out there making a lot of sense as far as what goes up and what goes down. So especially since we're beginning to see, you know, inflation still here, it's going to be here. I can't imagine U.S. manufacturing. Why did that just disappear today? I don't know if you talked about that earlier today. But
I haven't talked about anything. We talked to Wendy, so. So I got some news here.
Yeah, U.S. manufacturing output surges in January. Really? In January of all months? You know, home prices drop, hits 15% in Canada as rate squeeze buyers. So, you know, there's just everything defies inflation. Everything defies what Americans are feeling out there as far as their reports and so forth. But you know, I had mentioned at one point in time we were going to talk a little bit about $20 gold pieces, and I pulled up this one, and we're not going to spend too much time on it because I want to spend a little each week. I don't want to do it all in one program because I know you have lots of news that you want to talk about today. So, you know, you hear all this, you know, I get customers call me and say, well, you know, I want to trade my $20 gold pieces into bullion because that's what somebody says. I shouldn't own them. Nobody's going to want to buy them and blah, 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 blah. So I pulled up a website that, you know, has a big thing on there why you don't want to buy $20 gold pieces. And he's listed, and I'm not going to say who it is. I'm just using, and, you know, he's lists multiple reasons. And several of the reasons to me are all the same. So he's just stretching it out to make it look like there's more claims is why you don't want to buy $20 gold pieces. Ultimately, you buy what you want to buy, and it's education that helps you decide. And I think anyone who sells something in anything that doesn't want to educate you and only tells you to buy one thing, they're really not doing you a good service. Because there's a product, and I do believe being a little diversified in the gold and silver market with various coins, and, you know, you don't want to get crazy and go buy, you know, a gold coin from, you know, some place that nobody's ever heard of. You know, and I have people buying, wanting to know if they should buy copper coins or brass coin. No, you don't want that stuff. You know, so there's a relative basis that you want to stay with when you're buying gold and silver. But one of his claims, reasons why you shouldn't, usually the one that most people buy $20 gold pieces for. Numismatic coins are exempt from government seizure by law. He says totally false. No basis in statute or regulation. You know, back in 19, and then he adds another one, coins minted before 1934 are exempt from government seizure. He says that's false. And he says, you know, well, you know, when they exempt, when they confiscated gold in 1933, there were coins that were exempt. And they were coins of rare and unusual value because they couldn't tie those coins to the spot price of gold. They didn't know how to set a price. They did buy back your gold coins that they confiscated. You were even allowed to keep some, if I remember what the law stated. So you were able to keep, well, I'd have to look to see what the number was, but you were able to keep some, and then you had to return the rest, in which they paid you for them. And that's why they couldn't do any type of coin that had any type of premium, because they couldn't set the price for it. So that's why they were exempted. So for him to say that is totally false, that there's, that's not true. There's precedence in that, and that means something. So when I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, these $20 gold pieces, and you know, the thing of it is, governments can and will do anything. But history, to me, kind of tells me a little bit of what the future is going to bring. So I would bet against this guy. I would think that coins would be exempt. There's a reason why they're also exempt in tax reporting. You got to know there's only one loophole in any investment that you can think of that allows you to be to where when you sell the items, you don't have to, where I don't legally have to create a 1099. Now, it's your responsibility. It's the honor system that you say, hey, I sold my gold and blah, 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 and I made this much money, and I want to pay my taxes. That's your responsibility. It's not up to me to tell you what to do and what not to do. That's your business. My business is I know what I have to do. And when you can sell me back $1 million of those coins, and I say thank you very much. It is different with bullion. And there are some restrictions. And he's saying, oh, there's none at all. Well, there are some. And it doesn't matter how much you sell back at any particular time. And it does depend on various coins and so forth. You couldn't sell back $1 million worth of bullion coins and not create a 1099. But you could sell $1 million worth of $20 gold pieces and does not generate a 1099. So, you know, a lot of his, what he feels, is, and everybody has a right to their own opinion, but to falsely claim that these things do not matter, I think he's stretching and, you know, he's pushing bullion coins. He wants to trade those coins for you and to sell you bullion. So, again, it's his niche that he's found, and he's very convincing. But I disagree with him, and I could debate him on that. So I look to see what else he says. So he also has a program where he sells. And this is when you hear things out there, when they pitch something, one thing against something else, or they're against something, they want to sell you something. So they have to talk bad about one thing so they can sell you what they want to sell. But this is his program. And this is for silver buyers. I don't know if he does it with gold or not, but I was just seeing it with silver. You get to send him money in the beginning of the month, I think from the 1st to the 15th. And again, don't, you know, I'm not sure those exact dates, but I thought I had the right paperwork, but I don't. And then he says, well, so if you send your money on the 1st, the 10th, the 12th, the 8th, the 6th, the 5th, he holds that money until the 15th or the 16th or the 17th. And then he says he makes a buy because he can get better deals with volume purchases. Okay? You can get deals with volume, but you don't get that big of a deal. I know. I know what volume deals get. And then that much better than if you would have bought, sent your money, and you made an order on the 1st. So my question is, what does he do with all that money from the 1st to the 15th? Hmm. And what if you sent your money in on the 1st, and I'm just going to make up these numbers, and spot silver is 20, but maybe by the 15th, spot silver is 22. So basically, you lost. Now, I can work the other way, too. But how do you know? How do you know what you're buying, what the silver is being bought at? And when he actually makes the buy, he can actually be making the buy if you send your money in on the 1st and silver all of a sudden dropped on the 10th. He could make the buy on the 10th. Speculate that the market is going to go higher and rebound a little bit. So he's actually buying at a lower price, but then by the time the 15th, 16th, or 17th rolls around, prices are higher. He's going to use that price, so he makes a little more money in there. You don't know what he's doing. You don't know what he's doing with your money. But yet this is the same person who says you should buy $20 gold pieces. That's what I have problems with. Most people don't see this. It sounds like a really good deal. And it's usually for the smaller buyer. And those are the ones that always get taken advantage of. I mean, go to any of these online websites. You know, any of your big ones that people buy from, and they have it all broken down, 1 to 19. Look at the premiums you pay for 1 to 19 Silver Eagles versus somebody who, you know, can buy, you know, 1,000 or more. So the little guy is basically paying for the guy that has the most money, who had more money, so he can get a bigger deal than you for the guy that. So the little guy is getting taken advantage of. And it's amazing people don't see it that way. Then people want to know, well, what's your breakdown, Melly? I don't have a breakdown for 1 to 19 and 19 to 40 and 4. Everybody gets a good deal. So anyway, that's all I wanted to bring for the $20 gold pieces. So if you own $20 gold pieces, keep them. If you don't have any, you should probably pick some up. It's a good deal. And then we'll talk about a little bit next week why they're a good deal. Butch?
You know, when you were saying that, you know, he takes in and keeps some money thinking the price will make him down, you buy more. But there's a 50-50 chance of coming ahead by the price going, you know, by the price difference. It could go up. I mean, he could make money doing that or whatever.
Absolutely. So that's what I mean. You don't know.
Yeah. No, you don't. No, you don't. I mean, that's a pretty good job the way he figured out. That's pretty slick. I like that. I don't like it, but, I mean, I know what he done it for. It makes sense. He has a 50-50 chance of making a good profit that month.
But he screws the customer.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. But that's the whole game, right? I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's out to make a dollar, and he doesn't care to do it any way he has to. It's like the other day when I shared with you that catalog, the money, how much they marked those coins up. It's unbelievable. It's actually, I think, my mind, immoral. It's their business. They can market it any way they want to. People buy it, buyer beware kind of thing. But to me, everyone's going to make a profit, Melody. But there becomes a time when profits becomes obscene. It's no longer a profit. It's a con job. There's a difference, a big difference.
But, you know, buyers should be responsible. People who purchase coins, you should be responsible. And you can't always blame these various dealers. This is an area, this market is not regulated. It's a retail product that you're purchasing. It's not regulated. And again, there's loopholes in the tax code. And you have to ask yourself, well, why are those loopholes there? Why haven't they ever closed those loopholes? Everything else, you got to pay tax on. They certainly have had enough opportunity to, but they don't mess with it.
Well, now, another question real quickly. We're going to have to go to break a couple minutes here. But with the prices of metals coming down, are premiums also dropping equally?
Premiums have been holding steady. You know, we reversed a lot in the past, you know, month and a half. A lot of those premiums came down. But in this last drop so far, they've been holding steady.
So that means that the wholesalers are making more money. Is that a fair way to put it?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. No.
If
premiums aren't going up, it tells me people aren't buying, and there's plenty of product around.
Uh-huh. Well, silver's down to 21.64. That's mm-hmm. a long ways from what it was just a month or two ago, and I think not a good time to buy at least a few pieces of silver, maybe a small piece of gold. What prices are down? And premiums are down somewhat, obviously, also. So, folks, I say take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. It's not going to be that way forever, and you've seen it already. Spike, back in the 80s, Melody, if I remember right, silver went to $50 an ounce one time, didn't it?
Oh, it's been there a couple times.
Yes. And gold went over 2,000 a couple years ago, and it's going back up that way again.
Not 3,000.
2,000. So that's 2,000. 2,000.
Yeah.
So, and we're not that far from that now. We're about 1840 or so. We're not that far from 2,000 again right now. So, in my mind, if you got a few dollars, folks, get it while you can while the prices are down. I think I'm going to send Melody a check for a little bit of money and get a little bit coming in myself.
Well, you know what? Turkey's going to suspend some gold imports as part of an emergency plan to mitigate the economic fallout from the earthquakes that hit the country's southeast last week. Now, this is according to an official with direct knowledge of the matter. The Treasury and Finance Minister has finalized a regulation that will force a pause in gold purchases mm-hmm. from abroad that fall into the category of cash against goods, the official says. The gold imports were among the biggest drags on Turkey's external finances in months before the earthquakes. There was a lot of the Turks invested in the precious metal as a hedge against rampant inflation and steep declines in the lira. And so now you have a little bit of lag there. And Turkey was also the biggest buyer of gold among central banks last year. Its gold reserves were at the highest level on record. So, you know, that might have a little bit of an impact on the gold prices around the world. But I think I do hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul for the last segment of the program today. And I think we ought to move on to some news.
We got some news. We do.
Okay.
So we'll start with one here that doesn't seem that big a deal yet, and I hope it doesn't mount to anything. But after the earthquake in Turkey, it's worth mentioning. Romania earthquake fell across Eastern Europe. A 5.6 magnitude earthquake struck in Romania on Tuesday, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, and was felt in neighboring nations like Bulgaria and Serbia. Local reports and social media posts indicated minor damage to buildings and cars in Romania and showed people hastily exiting buildings. No injuries or significant losses reported. The tremor hit at 3:16 p.m. At a depth of 10 kilometers, see, that's about 6 miles, by the way, in Romania's southwestern county of Gorj, the United States Geological Survey said on their website. On Monday, the same area of Romania was hit by earthquake of a slightly lower magnitude without causing any damage or injuries. The tremors are unrelated to the deadly quake that hit Turkey and Syria last week. Romania's National Earth Physics Institute said on Tuesday, but the repeated jolts have raised concerns among some residents, and I can certainly understand that. Romania sits on several seismic faults, and experts have pointed out the country's high seismic potential. Same thing is said about California. That could be happening worldwide anywhere. It could happen in the middle of the country. We had Melody mentioned some time back, a couple weeks ago, we had a little bit of a shake here, and this being several years ago here in West Virginia. Went up through Maryland and Virginia and Pennsylvania. So it can happen anywhere. And you never know. I mean, if the people knew in advance it was going to happen, they would get out of their houses in Turkey. But they didn't know. No matter how much testing they think they can do, they can't predict it that far ahead.
No, they can't. And it's, you think in the world today's technology and stuff, you'd think they'd be able to get some sort of, readings or something. But did you see Raquel Welch died?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
How old was she?
She's only 82.
Yep. Yeah, I remember her when I was in the Air Force. Everybody thought she was absolutely gorgeous in a movie called BC something or other. I remember that's been back in the 60s. But anyway,
1 million years BC.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I made her famous, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, she was a pretty lady.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was. And I haven't heard this on the news, Melody. Have you heard anything about the train wreck in Ohio being on the news yet and covering anything about it?
Fox News is doing a lot of good coverage on that.
Oh, really?
I've seen a little bit some other places, but Fox News has been doing a tremendous job. They've been having people in the ground interviewing some of the people who live there, and it is truly
catastrophic.
It is just awful the way this government is treating those people in that town and the surrounding areas. I mean, I had no idea until I began seeing those pictures of them burning those chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. And the governor of that state, he's a wacko. You know, he's a little, I'm sorry, but he's this creepy little guy, and he's saying, well, you know, somebody asked him if he would live there or something like that, or if people should move back, and he gives this silly little answer like, well, I would probably move in, but, you know, maybe I drink bottled water. It's like, that's the best you can do to tell the citizens of this area.
And not just that area, but miles around and who knows how far out.
I mean, they're downplaying it so much. It's really sad and disgusting.
And this article kind of covers a little bit of that and what's really happening, folks. And it is really going on. I mean, this is a serious situation. Enviro Terror in Ohio's toxic gas cloud unleashed when authorities set fire to vinyl chloride to disperse it over skies, farms, and rivers. An act of ecological terrorism has been carried out in Ohio as authorities set fire to as many as 10 train cars carrying highly toxic vinyl chloride and other chemicals, unleashing a massive plume of chemical-laden smoke that exploded into the skies and spread for hundreds of square miles. Let that sink in. It could hit, and will hit eventually, Pennsylvania. It's already in Pennsylvania. It's right on the border of Pennsylvania to start with. It could come as far south as us in the long run. Who knows where it could go? The winds tend to go east, and it'd be heading to New York, and who knows where else. The idea that this is being called a controlled burn by the lying fake news media is beyond absurd. If you want to control chemicals, you don't set them on fire in an open field and disperse them. Yeah. And disperse the byproducts of combustion to the skies. That's not a controlled burn. That's setting off a chemical gas bomb. The byproduct of this combustion, by the way, includes hydrogen chloride, which almost instantly grabs water molecules from the humidity in the atmosphere, creating hydrochloric acid, a highly toxic acid that burns lungs, flesh, and even fish gills when absorbed into the water. And yes, it is highly water soluble. No wonder a mass kill event affecting fish, wildlife, chickens, and pets is being reported by citizens in the area, even as the government, National Guard, EPA, and dishonest mass media carry out a criminal cover-up. They're arresting reporters and threatening photographers, trying to cast a net of silence over the ecological catastrophe, hoping to distract Americans with the Super Bowl and stories of alien balloons in the skies. That's right on. That's they're telling the truth here.
Yeah.
I mean, hydrochloric acid is deadly. It's very deadly. And they put those things on fire to keep the chemicals from spreading. So they spread them through the air. They would probably went into the ground, into the water. I don't know how you clean it up. I have no idea. But I would think it spreads a lot more, covers a lot more territory by air than it does by ground. That's my opinion. So this is really sad. And those people that live in that area may never really have a good, safe place to live the rest of their lives. It's like a
Chernobyl. Agreed. Oh, I'm figuring they had to burn it quick because it was probably sinking into the water.
Yeah, that's
into the water table
.
And so forth. So, you know, but it, the way it's just being handled, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, and a good comparison was, you know, here you have these people, they were told to go stay in a hotel. A lot of them, you know, it's a poorer area, you know, who knows if they had the money to go to a hotel or something like that. But yet, do you think that railroad helped them out or anything like that? Yet we got illegal aliens staying in $500 a night rooms, $300, yep. $500 a night rooms, but yep. Yet we couldn't help those people.
Yes, 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 yes. That's America today. That's America today. And the people tolerate it. The more we tolerate, the worse it's going to get. That's all there is to it. If our founders could have seen us and what we're tolerating today, they probably shot all of us to start with. But anyway, back to some more news on this poor poultry and the products from poultry. Bird flu spreads to new countries, threatens nonstop war on poultry. Avian flu has reached new corners of the globe, become endemic for the first time in some wild birds, and that transmit the virus to poultry, according to veterinarians and disease experts who warn it's now a year-round problem. Reuters spoke to more than 20 experts and farmers on four continents, who said the prevalence of this virus in the wild signals that that record outbreaks will not abate soon on poultry farms, ramping up threats to the world's food supply. They warned that farmers must view the disease as a serious risk all year, instead of focusing on prevention efforts during spring migration seasons for wild birds. Outbreaks of the virus have continued in North and South America, Europe, Asia, and Africa, undefeated by summer heat or winter cold snaps. Since the strain arrived in the United States in early 2022, that was genetically similar to cases in Europe and Asia. Egg prices set records after the disease wiped out tens of millions of hens last year, bringing a staple source of cheap protein out of reach to some of the world's poorest at a time the global economy is reeling from high inflation. And it did, Mel. The chicken has always been I'd say a poor man's meat. I mean, I don't know how to put that. I mean, I love chicken. I'm a preacher. I got to. But it's always been, inexpensive meat you can buy. And eggs were always relatively inexpensive also. So it did kind of put a staple of cheap protein. I put it out of reach. Some people can't afford it any longer. And that's just a sad situation, Melody.
It is.
I'm still buying fresh eggs for $2 a dozen here, and I'm glad I can get them. But what happens if they get sick? And they could. No reason why they shouldn't. They couldn't. So it's just the way it is, and it's just a sad situation. And this story, poor America. Filthy homeless encampment is set up inside, I said, in Chicago's O'Hare Airport, with vagrants now living next to baggage belts in crime-ridden Windy City. Chicago has gone down the tubes unbelievably quickly. Homeless encampments have sprung up inside crime-ridden, riddled Chicago's O'Hare International Airport terminal, leaving some concern for their safety as images of people sleeping in filthy makeshift shelters have emerged. Thousands of people sleeping rough have sought refuge at the popular airline hub, with many setting up shelters inside the terminal buildings. Passengers were quick to snap the deteriorating situation, with one Twitter user posting a photo of several people sleeping among a throng of belongings near Terminal 1 of the airport. So, Melly, they always tell you not to let your bags out of your sight. If they do, you be careful somebody can put a bomb in the bag, whatever. Now they're having homeless people sleeping among the bags. How safe is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Can't be very.
Other shocking photos show one man collapsed inside an entrance with a vestibule, another slumped over with no shoes on a group of half a dozen who have taken over an indoor area next to the escalators. O'Hare's growing problem is just a snapshot of a citywide homelessness crisis bubbling under the surface of a city decaying from soaring crime rates. With a picture of one such encampment, one Twitter user questioned the city's leadership, but was promptly responded to by airport officials. O'Hare said, "We appreciate your feedback. Safety, security, and optimal passenger experience is top priority for CDA, and we have forwarded your messages along to our security team. We apologize for any inconvenience caused and hope that your next visit to ORD is more enjoyable." One user called the scene at the airport dystopian, detailing their uncomfortable experience. "I flew back to O'Hare Terminal 3 last week. I never seen such a homeless problem in baggage in the 50 years I've lived in Cook County," they wrote. Melly, that is so sad. I mean, the nation is decaying in every way possible. It's decaying. And Chicago never was, in my mind, a great place to live for many years. But under their mayor now, Proudfoot, I mean, that place has went to hell.
Well, there's a lot of places like that. And what are they going to do? They're not fixing anything, so it just seems like they're going to continue to crumble.
They're not doing a thing to turn around that I can see. Mm-hmm. They're not. Different topic, different part of the world. Irish farmers warn of an uprising if government continues vicious measures to meet net zero targets. Ireland will need to quadruple its afforestation targets, reduce its livestock by 30%, and re-wet 90% of reclaimed land if the agriculture sector is to meet net zero targets. Yesterday, the Irish Daily Mail reported that Irish farmers have warned there will be nothing short of an uprising in rural Ireland if vicious measures are applied to the agriculture sector to meet net zero targets. A report commissioned by the Environmental Protection Agency and paid for by the Department of Agriculture and Environment is undergoing final preparation and is scheduled to be published in early March. If all the changes take place as suggested in the EPA report, 3.1 million acres, or one-fifth of the state's total land mass, will change in use. There you go. Another blow to the food production. Another blow to people earning a living and farming. It's done it for generations. Wow, Melody. I mean, how do you... This is a tailored, planned out scenario to reduce food worldwide. Do you agree with that?
If what?
This is a tailored scenario to reduce food worldwide.
Oh, I mean, you know what? I think it's certainly being used, but I also believe we're at a time in I think we're in a time where things just fall apart.
Oh, wait, you're right. You're right.
And I think things, you know, you just get these because it's just so unbalanced. And, I mean, how do we get all this? I'm sure we've had chicken flu in this country before, but at the same time or right after, China had theirs. And we import so much anymore, which has impacts on. I mean, look what it's done to where you have these fish coming in, all this stuff from other countries coming into this country and ruining the ecosystem to some degree in some areas and so forth. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely being used. Absolutely. But I also believe it's just other signs that we're not taking good care of our country anymore.
Well, again, I've said many times, without a moral foundation, nothing stands. We've lost it.
Yep.
It's over. There's music already.
It is, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.